All right, Monday edition of the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is January 25th, 2021, and the Super Bowl matchup is set. We have the Bucks, we have the Chiefs, and we're going to talk about it with Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated in just a moment. Ben, of course, has been with us talking football before. He is based in Kansas City, so we'll get his take on the Bucks and the Chiefs after the AFC and NFC Championship games yesterday. Don't forget, if you want to get involved with the program, we invite you to send me an email at chris@scoopswithdannymac.com or tweet me, C-H-R-A-B-E. You can also send us a screenshot after you subscribe to the podcast, Scoops with Danny Mac, wherever you listen to your podcasts, leave a review, and send it our way. Excited to talk a lot of football this week. We'll bring back a couple of our drafts. Looking forward to the next couple of weeks as we hopefully learn a little bit more about the baseball offseason. Maybe learn what the Cardinals are going to look like. Maybe learn if there's going to be a DH in the National League. March towards spring training. The Blues continue as well. College basketball. Missouri with a nice weekend and a win over Tennessee. So a lot to get to this week. But I wanted to kick the week off talking some football. As we now know, it'll be the Bucks and the Chiefs a week from Sunday in the Super Bowl in Tampa. So we do welcome Ben Heisler to the show from Sports Illustrated. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis. Read him at si.com/gambling, si.com/fantasy. And Ben joins us to give us his take on what we saw yesterday in both the NFC and AFC Championship games. All right, Heisler, what do you make of the matchup that we'll have at the Super Bowl in Tampa in a couple of weeks? Just from the quarterback standpoint, that's what we'll hear about. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. It actually, from a quarterback standpoint, couldn't have gotten much better this weekend in both championship games.
You're right. You're right, Chris. And I'm fascinated because you're having all throughout the next couple of weeks, my buddy Bill Enright over at Sports Illustrated brought that up, that if you happen to have any stock images of, you know, an adult goat and a baby goat side by side, that you're probably going to cash in over the next couple of weeks, because that's what this matchup really is. It's remarkable to consider two things. One, from Tampa Bay side. I think over the month of November, the Buccaneers were struggling to the point of any sort of offensive identity. They were dealing with some injuries. Tom Brady was very hit or miss. And I remember saying to myself, all right, let's look at their schedule for a second. They have Atlanta for two of those weeks, Minnesota and Detroit. At least they're going to go into the postseason with a little bit more confidence on offense. And sure enough, they did. And they blew out a lot of those games and really started to get in some sort of positive momentum. You saw Antonio Brown take off. Chris Godwin, I think, had five touchdowns in three games. Mike Evans was getting involved. You saw an emergence of Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. Everything about them, with the top of Tom Brady in a pandemic year, changing organizations for the first time. You know, I think that's more of an eye-opener compared to Kansas City, is that everything was kind of stacked against Tom Brady to get back to this point. I kind of thought, okay, maybe second year, you have a second year in this offense. They got off to a rough start and they've persevered. Their defense got better over the course of the postseason. Their secondary, which had been picked on a variety of times course of the year, everybody knew you couldn't run on them, but you could throw on them, they've stepped up. Sean Murphy Bunting's an interception machine. So everything about Tampa Bay right now, I think, is the more incredible story. And this is still talking about Patrick Mahomes going to his second Super Bowl in his fourth year in the league and his third year in the league as the full-time starter. And that's remarkable in and of itself, but a fascinating matchup and one that I'm really intrigued by, especially as sort of we learn more about the tale of these two quarterbacks moving forward.
Yeah, let's get to Tampa and Green Bay first, because you bring up a great point about the Bucs, and it seems like they really hadn't played their best game more than one or two isolated weeks in a row. We saw it maybe against the Packers early this year, but now the last couple of weeks, it seems like everything on both sides of the ball is clicking, Ben.
I've been impressed, and I was somebody that thought it was going to be too much to overcome. Really, the last 3 weeks, I've been on the side of pretty much every week in the postseason, with the exception of Washington, because I think Washington ended up pushing or covering, depending on when you took them. But I felt like they were going to be that team that hung around. But again, there were still too many flaws on defense. I was worried about the injury status of Mike Evans. Ronald Jones was dealing with a bit of an injury as well. And they've overcome everything. And Brady, to a certain extent, still tried to lose that game for them with the three interceptions in the second half. And their defense stepped up. So I think it's easy to look at Tampa and say, well, you know, Tom Brady doing what Tom Brady does. To a certain extent, that's true. But I mean, if you look at the last two games, especially, they're here because of their defense. Their defense forced Drew Brees to have a very uncharacteristic game, constantly turning the ball over, flipping the field for Tampa to get in terrific field position. And then, you know, the same thing, they got big stops against Green Bay when they needed to most. And Aaron Rodgers still had a very good game, still over 300 yards, still three touchdowns, but he did have an interception, and they did it on the road. In every game, which again, another fairly remarkable accomplishment to get their way back here. So I'm just trying to examine now that they're home, whether or not that kind of changes their mindset a little bit. It's obviously the first time in NFL history where a team in the Super Bowl is playing at their home field, but they've had so much success going on the road and sort of surprising everybody. I wonder even if that mindset might change a little bit now that they're playing on their home turf.
Yeah, what do you think it means? And like, I think in a normal year, in a non-pandemic season, it would probably mean, you know, the certainly week leading up to the game, a lot more distractions and a lot more going on, but it's not really happening this year. I wonder, not even just from a handicapping standpoint, but just overall, what it actually truly means in this one-off season to be home for the Super Bowl.
Well, it doesn't indicate that they would be getting a typical 3 points for being at home, right? Because right now you're looking at most lines that would indicate that the Chiefs are 3.5 point favorites. Now there's some sports books where, you know, odds makers that I've talked to or I've heard them do interviews say we're comfortable at 3. And I think a large part of that is also to help offset the betting futures, because the number one team in the futures market this season was actually Tampa Bay, from anywhere from 18-1 down to 12-1. So a lot of sportsbooks have a ton of liability, and I've already seen, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, just once the lines got posted as of, you know, late last night, about 77% of the bets have come in on Kansas City. So either way, I think sportsbooks are going to be taking a bit of a loss in this game. It's just a imagine of how much they're going to try to hedge that loss. And it's weird. It's weird to see a sportsbook go into the Super Bowl with this much liability. But to go back to your question, you know, I think for so many of these teams, and especially Tom Brady now playing in his 10th, you know, the Super Bowl is an event, and you're in this team hotel together, and you're doing everything as a team. And so normally, I think you would look at the ability to say, oh, I get to sleep in my own bed. I get to have my normal home routine. During the regular season, I think that is an advantage. I don't know whether or not that is for the Super Bowl, because you have 2 weeks in between the championship game to the Super Bowl. You just have a lot of time to kill. And there's something to be said about having that time together. And that's something that Tom Brady has done over the course of his career. All 9 Super Bowls that he's played in up until this year, he's traveled with his team. He stayed at the same hotel. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if that's something that Tampa has decided to do. So I don't know if I can necessarily, you know, quantify sort of the edge here, Chris, but I do think it's different for somebody that is used to being in the Super Bowl as an element of consistency in his career. It is a change, and I think that's something to take note of.
Ben Hustler with us for another minute or two as we take our first look at the Super Bowl in Tampa, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, conversely, if Tampa put together two of their best games, did Kansas City just kind of survive, Ben? Not just because of the injuries, but even yesterday, Buffalo just kind of hanging around, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs started looking like the Chiefs early in that third quarter, especially after Buffalo wasn't able to cash in and score a touchdown on that long drive. It seems like you know, you let them hang around for too long, they can play from ahead, from behind, and that's exactly what they did. They flipped back into Chiefs mode the second half of that game.
Yeah, I was listening to Patrick Mahomes on my buddy Carrington Harrison's show, The Drive, on 610 Sports Radio. They talked to Patrick Mahomes every week, and you know, he had a bit of a tweet that went viral after the game where I think it was an ESPN graphic that was doing the tail of the tape. And I think it was over the last 6 weeks, who do you give the edge to at the quarterback position? And the ESPN panel, or based off the graphic, they said it was Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes. And while that might be true, the numbers would indicate that, yes, he's been better over the last 6 weeks. There's no doubt who I would take in that situation. And I think a lot of people agreed with that as well. And he sort of quote tweeted it with a yawn emoji. And his rationale behind that was, yeah, they've won some close games and they found ways to get themselves in a position to come back and win. And that's sort of been their MO, especially in the second half of the season. And the Chiefs were one of the worst teams, Chris, against the spread this year, particularly in the second half. And the last time they had won by more than double digits was week 8 of the NFL season against the New York Jets. And they finished the year 14-2 in the regular season. It's pretty remarkable that that was what it took for them to all of a sudden get back on track. But I just kind of look at this team as a team that had been looking at this as their complete and total goal anyway, and they do have a that they can flip. At some point, that comes back to bite you, and I don't think that'll necessarily be the case in the Super Bowl. I think they'll come out and play with a lot of aggression. You saw that even against Cleveland as well with the two quick touchdowns. And yeah, Buffalo got off to a 9-0 start, but it wasn't 9-0 for long. I'm not necessarily worried about Kansas City and their inability to cover over the second half because they know what's at stake, especially in the Super Bowl. I just think it's going to be a really good back and forth game between two offenses that have a ton of weapons on both the running back and the wide receiver side. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football. It's another opportunity to go head to head against Gronk, who was his superior at that position for a handful of years before Kelce took it over. I just don't see the Chiefs as that team that's going to have to feel like they need to flip a switch and have an inability to put teams away. They already saw what happened against Tampa Bay back, I think, in week 12, where they should have put them away, and the Buccaneers had a chance to win it with the game on the line late in the quarter. I think that message is going to resonate, that there is no room to just let a team hang around, especially in the Super Bowl.
How much time will you spend and how much fun will you have over the next couple of weeks on totally random props?
I've already started to do the process of trying to figure out how long the national anthem is going to be sung by Eric Church. I thought I was going to, I had a bad beat last year. I did a bunch of research. I think it was Demi Lovato maybe that sung it.
It's been kind of the female pop singer for the last handful of years. So this will be a totally different dynamic to try and handicap.
So I have to tell you that I was on the over for Demi Lovato. I remember this very vividly, although I can't necessarily remember who it was, because I went back and gone through the tape of her last four anthems. And I think the over-under was set at maybe 154, 153. And so I jumped on the over because three out of the last four times she had hit that over, including like a 2 minute and 30 second rendition at a UFC event. And that was a cappella. And I kind of figured that the music and the band behind her would slow her down. What I was wrong about is that it actually sped things up, that she needed to be on the same level and the same time frame as the band. So I thought I was sitting pretty with whatever I had at the over. Turns out the under hit, and I was left feeling a little bit sorry for myself. So I think the message here, especially in the pandemic, is whether or not Eric Church is going to be doing this in person, if it's going to be video, and if he is going to be doing it either on one of those two platforms, will he have a band behind him? If it's going to be a cappella, I think I'm going to lean on the over.
It'll be him with acoustic guitar, I bet.
Yeah, that could be, let's see, that makes things difficult because he's controlling the tempo, and I don't know if he's necessarily that.
I bet it's slower
you
then.
You think it's a little bit slower if he's the one setting it? I think it's going to be close. I'm guessing they're going to total probably around 156 and a half, and I'll have to do some more research. So let's regather our thoughts and get
yes.
together, you know, closer to the Super Bowl once that research has been completed. So I have no official play on the national anthem just yet, but yes, it is the best time. It is Christmas time for NFL props over the next couple weeks.
Beautiful. Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated. Look forward to it, man. We will reconvene before the Super Bowl, and I know that things are exciting in Kansas City. So thanks for giving us a first look at the matchup, and we'll talk to you next week before the game, man.
You got it, Chris.